which we're going to get to in a couple of minutes. And you know, we began also discussing what is required for tonight. So there are really three factors that we want to weigh in this topic. One is the role of umdana, reading people's mind, what they really have, what they likely really have in mind, and what role does that play here? Because normally we understand that the problem with umdana is twofold. Number one is a practical problem with umdanas, and that's, you know, they're not foolproof. When you try to read somebody's mind, you can always be mistaken, right? You can't always penetrate into the deep recesses of somebody's real intention. There are umdanas and there are umdanas, as we pointed out. Some are considered to be practically a sure thing, even to the point of being called anansade, and even being treated, you know, as edus for purposes like ein migu b'makom edim, or even ede kiyum. That's a very strong anansade. But not every anansade is that strong. There are levels of these, of umdanas. It always clashes with dvarim shebleveinam dvarim. And that's one problem in umdana. How secure can you be in really fathoming the person's intent? But there's another side to the problem, and that, you know, is particularly nogea, our discussion. And that is, even if you, you know, mostly can penetrate intent, as long as it isn't 100% and therefore kimat befurash, so then there's a legal problem, and that is, you know, if you set things up in a contractual way, so even if we know it's in your heart, then nonetheless, as long as it's not object, it's not nitan to be objectified, so, you know, you're stuck with the formulations and the legal apparatus that you set up. And that is a big problem, big issue here. So in our context, you know, we're talking about onus bitnai, basically there are these three factors. Because on one level, you could just think that the whole sugya is about umdana. And some of the factors in the Gemara, onus l'shchiach, nichale tipal kame yavam, some of the Shakunatarya in the Darim in the continuation, all of these might point exactly in that direction. Namely, you know, an onus took place, something unforeseen, and something which he wasn't in control of. And as such, you know, what happened doesn't really reflect his will. His will trumps the, you know, the legal apparatus that he set up, right? And it overcomes it. And that certainly is the view of many of the Mefarshim, some Rishonim, some Achronim, on this sugya. It allows you to bypass a lot of things. If that were the case, then, you know, the question of ones being command ovid or command lo ovid, etc., even possibly, we'll get to this in just a second, even possibly the question of ones rachmana patre or narlis asadavar in onshim, you know, one could make a strong case, is irrelevant to this topic. You should be quoting, you know, either of those things, unless you just mean them in a very melitza, you know, kind of, or practical kind of a way. If you want to say, you know, just like not legally responsible, and you don't get punished for things that happen by ones, because we don't think you meant them, and if it's a shir in your intention, you're a well-meaning guy, and part of punishing you is the fact that you're not well-meaning. But, you know, but pashtos, you have to, that's a step two. We'll get back to that in a second. But the pashtos, narlis asadavar and ones rachmana patre, and so on, are legal concepts. One is about an onesh, and the other is about the hagdara of a mice, and we're going to discuss them more in just a couple of minutes. But they don't obviously, right, fit in to a discussion of mind reading, you know, penetrating the man's will. So if we're operating on the level of umdana, we should be surprised when the Gemara in the Darim introduces ulnara lo sasa davar, and we should be surprised when the Yerushalmi, but then we have to analyze it further, right, uses expression like, for Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, like onus command avid, onus command lo avid, because really it's all about umdana, it's all about just figuring out what likely was going on here. Okay. At the same time, as we noted, the idea that umdana can play a role even when a tnai, when a legal condition was set up, is not without precedent. It's part of the huge machlokas rishonim that we find regarding the linguistic mishpatei tnaim and possibly even some of the substantive mishpatei tnaim. Okay. However, if it's not exactly the same issue, right? There we're talking about, you know, how you set it up. Here we're talking about whether or not you're following through with the tnai. It could have been mechalik between those two things, but that's all one background, and that's certainly the way that one mahalik in the sugya. If that's the case, let's continue with that for a moment. I mean, that this is all about mind reading and you're allowed to do mind reading. So then, just like it's not perfectly obvious that Olnara Lesasa Dabar or Onas Rachmana Patre or Chayde or Kamanda Ovid or Kalamanda Lo Ovid are relevant, so too one could make the case that the question of how you formulate a particular Tanai would also be mostly irrelevant. In other words, whether or not it's a the Tanai is a kumbase or sheval tase, that's one kind of an issue. Imbasi, then, or imlo basi, then. Right? Or whether or not we're dealing with something which is more in the form of a kiyum or a bitol, right? In other words, imbasi hareze or imbasi, you know, einze. Those kind of issues, you know, mostly would be also very flexible, one would think, because if we're trying to read the man's mind, we want to read his mind. Unless you think that in the mind-reading game, how you formulate a Tanai indicates how serious you are or how specific you are, you know, how rigid you are about implementing it. But that aside, if umdana's work here, then pretty much everything should go. Well, on the other hand, a factor which may very much be relevant might be another question, and that is the question whether or not we're dealing with one person's das or two people's das. Right? An issue which is brought up by?
The Ran.
By the Ran. Okay, the Ran in Kiddushin, right? And some other Rishonim too. To in order to be Mechalik, we'll get to the Ran inside in just a couple of minutes, between Gittin and Kiddushin. Kiddushin is a consensual act, as we know. Gittin Daraisa is Balkarcha the Isha. So the Ran, trying to explain how will Rabbi Yochanan, you know, explain, you know, our sugya, that basically yesh ones, you know, bitnai, that ones and tnai matters, meaning we're not going to impose the tnai in the circumstance of ones. How will Rabbi Yochanan be able to explain that, given the fact that in Yerushalmi he seems to say that we don't care that it was al yidei ones, we care that it was, you know, enforced or not enforced. What's the difference? So the Ran says the difference is because Kiddushin is a consensual act, and therefore both sides matter, as opposed to a one-sided act. Now the question is, what is the nature of that chiluk? So we'll see what the Ran says about it in a couple of minutes, but certainly one might argue that that is an umdana-oriented factor as well. In other words, when it's beini levein atzmi, you know, then I know what the only person who matters is me. And there are conditions where the tnai that I set up is going to be understandably binding, and there are going to be circumstances where we're not going to be, you know, rigid about it, you know, in a situation where it's antithetical to his real will, and you know, that's easier to figure out, you know, if there's only one party. The second that there are two parties, what you might say is, you know, there are two parties, so it doesn't matter what I want; it matters, you know, what happens. There are really two ways to explain the, you know, the inclusion of a second party as being significant. Right? One way is to say, well, the umdanas themselves, you know, are just much more complex, and therefore, you know, it's not automatic that if there's an onus, that the umdana demuchach is, that it shouldn't be ma'akev. And that's the way some of the mefarshim should explain it. It's also possible to explain that this question, whether or not, you know, we look at a tnai, even in the context of a tnai or a contractual, you know, circumstance, whether we look at this just as an extension of his das and therefore something which is sensitive and subject to an umdana going forward, or whether or not we see it more in terms of formal compliance with the contractually agreed upon formula, that gufa depends on whether or not we're dealing beino levein atzmo, you know, but he articulated it. Again, he could have been megarish or bal korcha. Instead, he set up something. So, under those conditions, we say, you know what? It's all about, it's true, he set it up, but it's not, you know, a formal requirement. It's basically an extension of dat or legarish, which we can continue to try to mind read, right? However, if it's kiddushin and a consensual action, in addition to being more complex and therefore more difficult to mind read, right? Or, you know, where the percentages, you know, go down in terms of the effectiveness of that, because not everybody's interest is always aligned, right? In addition to that, what you might say is, well, anything involving two people is by definition a more formal kind of a transaction, And there you don't have the luxury, you know, even if your mind reading capacity is just as excellent and the, you know, interests are completely aligned, it doesn't make a difference. By definition, when you deal with two different parties who have, in theory, different interests, that formalizes the entire transaction. In Moshe L'mava Dover Dome, the Ramban has such a comment. Again, as we know, all the Rishonim were pressured to try to explain why so many cases in Shas, you know, where there seemed not to be Mishpatei Tanayim, right? Nonetheless, we don't say Batal HaTanai, you know, V'kayam HaMaisa. Exactly what we were talking about yesterday. The question is why. So there's some Rishonim who always say, you're just wrong. It's just that, you know, the Gemara doesn't, you know, it's there's a hidden v'chule, you know, in all these cases, etc. Right? And the etc. I mean, of course, you have to, you know, cross your T's and, you know, dot your I's, but, you know, that's implicit, and we're going on from there, but you always need that. Okay. Then there are some, we're going to say, which we're going to get to in a minute, that there are cases where you don't need Mishpatei Tanayim for various reasons. Okay, why wouldn't you need Mishpatei Tanayim? So we'll see in a moment. Some are mechalik between Yisurim and Mamanus. I will explain that in a couple minutes. That's the famous explanation of the Ravid that we want to talk about. Others were mechalik between Almanas and not Almanas, or Me'achshav because of Almanas. That's also very fascinating. Is that because the word Almanas is like, you know, quote unquote, to Mishpatei Tanayim automatic? Like plug in, it's like a computer program. Right? You say Almanas, right? They put in all the Mishpatei, you know, Tanayim, you know, for you. The software, you know, just kicks in. Or is it because Kol HaOmer HaMenas is Kol HaOmer Me'achshav Dami, and Me'achshav is a different kind of a T'nai. Again, it's a T'nai which you have to be Mevatel, not a T'nai which you have to be Mekayim, because it already begun. That already relates to some of the things that we're going to get back to in a second, the T'nai Milsa Achriti issues. But anyways, what I'm trying to say is there are various answers to these questions. Ramban in Kiddushin has a suggestion, one suggestion where he says, you know what, maybe things that are beino levein atzmacha, where you make a condition, there you don't need Mishpatei Tanayim. Maybe you only need Mishpatei Tanayim, you know, when some other party is involved. Right? So, again, what that might be about is, as long as it's beincha levein atzmacha, so maybe it's just an extension of, you know, Dad, it's all about umdana, and so on. And the Tanai that you make is kind of guidelines. But the second that someone else is involved, then the crossing of the T's and the dotting of the I's and the putting it in the Mishpatei Tanayim, you know, becomes a requirement, not just to protect the umdanas because it's more complex, but because then it becomes a formal contractual agreement between parties. It becomes objectified, and therefore the requirements, you know, become rigidly ma'akev as well, because that's what legal language is. Legal language is, you know, contrary to popular opinion, or to maybe what it's become, is not just, you know, bureaucracy to support, you know, the workers, although it seems like that's what it's become today. But initially, at least, legal language and legal requirements are there to, you know, to objectify and to protect, you know, and to formalize. So, in a way, what we might say is that the, you know, the distinction that we're talking about in the Ran between beino levein atzmo, or where, you know, there is another party, but that other party doesn't have das rights, meaning it's bal kocha neisha. So either that's within the world of umdana, or that gufa is the Rubicon. That's where we jump from the world of umdana, right, and to the world of formalism. I mean, dealing with the world of formalism, then the enforcement of the details becomes critical, becomes important. Okay. Anyways, this is all within the world of seeing this whole sugya ones in terms of umdana. Now, is it conceivable at all, if the world is connected to umdana, that we could explain? I said before, well, if it's based on umdana, we should be initially surprised to see statements like, you know, Ulanar Lasasa Davar, Onos Rachmana Patre, and even Onos Kamanda Ovid, Ominus Kamanda Lo Ovid, because that doesn't seem to be the point. It's all about Das and Umdana. Is there any way, which is why, in other words, the language of the Yerushalmi and the language of the Gemara in the beginning of Nedarim, right, seems to militate against that. The question is there any way to salvage that if you take the pure Umdana approach? So I already hinted, obviously, by saying, you know, at first glance and superficially and all those other qualifying, you know, words that I used, and I even, I think, went a little bit further a couple seconds ago, that there is a way. But it's important to know that it's a way, but that doesn't preclude our being initially surprised. The way is to operate with a kind of common denominator. By which I mean, we're trying to mind read, right? And you might think that mind reading has nothing to do with halakha, right? It has to do with, you know, psychology and sociology, you know, two very pragmatic, you know, sciences. Some people tell you that they aren't even sciences. But anyways, but I don't mean that, you know, to in any way chas v'shalom belittle them, on the contrary. But the point is that, you know, what the halacha thinks about the status of a maisa ba'ones or whether or not it's subject to onshin, you know, that's a legal question, right? That's a very formal question. We're trying to figure out, what does the guy mean? What's his intention? You know, we don't want to force upon him against his will, so we're trying to read his mind. What does that have to do with anything? Initially, I think that that is a proper approach. However, as we've seen in other cases, sometimes halachic reality, right, isn't just about formalism either, it's also necessitant. To what extent do we think that an action that takes place, ba'ones, right, really is so antithetical, right, to this person's das? Is it possible that, you know, if we had thought that, you know, onas rachmana chaybe, in other words, that you do get onshim for a maisa ones, so maybe implicitly that's partly because we think that, you know, even when you're when do things, you know, against your will, it's not completely against your will. There's some psychology in that too, right? And especially in certain circumstances. So is it possible that when the Gemara says "el naro l'sasadav," what they're saying is there's no legal onesh for maisa ones? That is a shiur, that's a way of showing to the extent to which we don't associate your will with this action. And maybe even going further, language like onus commandala ovid, you know, etc., is about that idea. Meaning, you did it, but you didn't really do it. If you didn't even do, if we don't even consider you to have done it when you did it, we certainly don't think that, you know, it can be linked to your intention. In other words, these more legal formal issues are our way of gauging the extent to which, you know, you disassociate, or you are disassociated, is a better way to say it, you know, from this action intellectually and emotionally. So I think that is possible. Having said that, I also think it's possible, or not impossible, say, better say it, that some of the ways that you set up a Tanai, right, may also be relevant to the question of whether or not you're, you know, really interested in, you know, integrating and you know, redefining the action on the basis of the Tanai, or formalizing the contractual obligation, or now they're just kind of struggling to try to express the conditions that you're interested in. Because again, saying the same thing, if the sugya is all about umdanas, so is there any room on the havamina or maskana level to make distinctions like the ritva, like the ra'ah, like possibly Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are making? Why not say we don't really care? That's all structural, right? Then do we? Okay, maisa ba'ones, or I'm sorry, lo asa ba'ones, right? Eino nechshav asa, right? That's essentially what the Ra'ah and the Ritva are telling us. Does it matter? Right. So from an if everything is about an umdana here, what did this man have in mind when he made this tanai? So do we really care? But let me say it the other way. To explain, and we'll go back to this in a minute, the shita of Reish Lakish, right, according to the, you know, reading of the Yerushalmi that we have, right, so again, what does Reish Lakish say? The guy says, im basi, you know, hareza kiddushin. And he's lo ba because of an onus, right? So Rabbi Yochanan says, well, he's lo ba, right? And Reish Lakish says, yeah, but he's lo ba because of an onus. So we understand that well, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, and we understand that Reish Lakish's shita seems to be a little bit problematic. And kind of, that's what the Ra'ah seemed to be, and the Ritva seemed to be saying. Namely, that if you had that kind of a situation, then all things being equal, you know, even if you hold Yesh Onus B'tanai, that should help you, because in the end of the day, you need a Kiyum HaTanai, and you don't have it. So we were trying to explain, you know, I was trying to suggest two explanations for Reish Lakish. The first one is that Reish Lakish will tell you this this issue is not about Kiyum and Bitol HaTanai, it's about an Umdana. So in the end of the day, basically, Reish Lakish is saying, I don't care whether it's Kiyum HaTanai or Bitol HaTanai, B'Shev Al Tasa, B'Kum Ba'Aseh, but what I really figure out, what I'm really interested in is reading his mind. And he wanted to be Mekadesher, and you know, he also wanted to show up. When he wasn't able to show up, he still wants to be Mekadesher, and that's what matters in the end of the day. The assumption that that's all that matters is one assumption of Reish Lakish, if you interpret this way. The second assumption in Reish Lakish is that, you know, on the level of Umdana, right, these things don't matter, how you structure the Tanai, what happens and what doesn't happen, what happens and what doesn't happen, but Ones, right, is also not relevant in terms of the Umdana. But is it conceivable that, just like I made the distinction a moment ago, when there are two sides, you know, that makes it more formalistic, or makes it more complex in terms of penetrating will. So too, maybe when I set up a Tanai in one way, right, then, you know, it's easier to just say, well, does he want it or not? You know, when I set it up in a different way, then perhaps it's also a little more, I set it up this way, I need a kumbase, I need a kiyum, right? If I didn't set it up as a, you know, this will be mabatel, you know, the mice. I set up, these are the preconditions in which I want this mice. Maybe I've raised the stakes higher, even on an umdana level. So I'm just trying to suggest that even if you work with umdanas, there are ways to explain some of these factors, but having said that, default, if you take the umdana approach, you know, neither the status of onus generally, nor the way that tnaim are set up, and the way that they work, should be much of a obstacle if you think that this whole sugya is about umdanas. More likely, what's going to be an obstacle is the question of him and her and having different interests or the same aligned interests, etc. Okay. If, on the other hand, we say that mishpatei tnaim or tnaim, you know, have a formalistic component, so then we need to discuss how they work, number one, and what impact either being mekayim them or mevatel them, but ones has. And that's where we were. So I want to go back to that point. So the point I was trying to make the other day was as follows. There's a group of Rishonim that clearly understands that mishpatei tnaim is a chiddush. And we sometimes call that tnaim milsachri. That the tnai is something that is extraneous, pulling down the mice. There's das on the transaction, and then there's a linking mechanism, right, that will still determine the fate of this action, but betoras tnai. Okay. As opposed to saying, well, the tnai just integrates fully into the das ala mice. Okay. And that is reflected by Tosis's you know, remarkable comments on Nun Vav Amud Aleph, where Tosa says that the reason that the Maisa will be kaim, even though the Tanai is batel, that seems to be against his will. How can you force him into a kedushin that he doesn't want? Is because it's the exact opposite. Everything that's happening here, right, is balanced in the other way. Really, when he agreed to the kedushin, he agreed to the kedushin. He tried, right, to append, you know, ma'akev mechanism or some linking mechanism. It's a huge chiddush that the Torah allows that, and in the chabal the chiddush, you have to do it properly. But it's milsachriti. What I'm suggesting is, now that we know, or if we assume that mishpatei tnaim really work in that way, so how do we look at mishpatei tnaim when they're properly formulated? Will we say, oh, under those conditions, the chiddush of Torah is that the das al hatnai becomes integrated into the das al ha-maisa. And now we treat it as if it's all one integrated whole, right? Because of that das al ha-maisa. That's one possibility. Or something a little bit different that has a lot of parallel consequences, and that is, in Ochanami, we still think that there's das al ha-maisa, and there's a tnai, and there's das al ha-tnai, and so on and so forth. But the chiddush of Mishpatei Tnayim is the fact that we've linked these two things. Not that we've integrated, we've been mechazek the das makne or the das kone on the basis of the, you know, fringe, let's say, options of the tnai, but that what we've done is we've said, you know, there are two things happening here, we acknowledge that, but the chiddush haTorah is to put a circle around both of them or a hyphen between them. And to say the fate of the maisa now depends on the fate of the tnai. That acknowledges that they remain two things, right? But it still links one to the other. And you still need the kiyum of one in order to accomplish the other. The third way to look at all of this is that it is truer to, you know, its original status. Again, the original status is ein l'chabo el chidusho, this is all a chidushu. So what we might say is, you know what, this pulls down a maisa, a trend, and a kinyan, bedas. It never ever integrates as the das makne, the das kone, and it doesn't really establish, you know, either through a circle or a hyphen, you know, that you know, that one depends, one is held hostage to the other. What it does is it's a mevatel, and if it's a mevatel, right, and we look at it that way, then however you structured it, in the end of the day, we might always translate it into bit. You don't have to do this step, but you could do this step. In other words, when you set up a kiyum matna, you said, you know, im basi hareat mekudeshes, right? Im basi is never going to be part of the das of kiddushin, and im basi is never going to be circled and hyphenated so that, you know, the im basi part and the hareat mekudeshes part, you know, are inseparable. None of that's happening. What you're really doing is you're saying this tanai can bring down this maisa. And once you're saying it that way, perhaps you can go that extra step and say there's no imbasi hareza mukudeshes. What there really is, right, im lo basi einze mukudeshes. Every kiyum tanai is really just a mechanism, right, to be ma'akev the maisa. And therefore every kiyum tanai is really a bitul tanai. If you say that, so then we have another way to read Reish Lakish and to expand, you know, this sugya. And that is to say, take the case of Reish Lakish, according to the, you know, Rushalmi's text that we have. The guy says, im basi hareze mekudeshes, right? So the problem was that for Reish Lakish, he's lo ba, right? Lo ba ba'ones. But lo ba ba'ones is still not ba. Unlike our sugya, which is, right, im lo basi hareat migureshes. So, and he's lo ba ba'ones. So here we understand that there's another issue, lo ba ba'ones shma lo ba, right, or, I mean, lo ba, or lo. But here, he needs an imba, and a lo ba is never a ba. Sounds a little bit like I'm a sheep, but, right? So what's going on here? And essentially, that's what the ra'ah and the ritva say. And you know, it seems like it's hard to get out of that. It's fascinating, of course, that the Ran in Kiddushin, who is trying to explain Shitas Rabbi Yochanan, right? Yair, right? Didn't do what? He's bothered by Rabbi Yochanan because we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. Even Rabbi Yochanan was very modest, right? And told his daughters that, you know, they should be careful for the psak of Reish Lakish. But, right, it was a combination of modesty and practicality. Right. He said, who knows, if they pascha like Reish Lakish, we're all in trouble. Right? Anyways, but the point is we pascha like Rabbi Yochanan, and what happens to our sugya? Our sugya says, ein ones b'tanai. Rabbi Yochanan seems to paskin, yesh ones b'tanai. I'm sorry, our sugya paskins, yesh ones b'tanai, meaning ones matters, and therefore, you know, you have, you know, it's not going to be, the tanai is not going to be makid. But Rabbi Yochanan says the opposite. And we pascha like Rabbi Yochanan. So, basically, How is the Ra'ah and the Ritva going to answer that that question? Yair? What? No, they don't. They don't say it. But I'm just saying, project it. How does the Ra'ah answer the question? Ra'ah says it's a stira. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, and we paskin like the Gemara in Gittin and Ksuvah. So what's the answer? What we mentioned before. Namely, there's a difference between Gittin and Kiddushin, right? Tola b'das atzmo, tola b'das acherin. What's fascinating, this is just trying to bring this out, what's fascinating, Adam, is what could the Ra'ah have said? What would the Ra'ah and the Ritva say? Exactly, the difference between the assumption of the question is that the cases are the same, but they're not the same, are they? Our case is Iblabasi. The case there is Imbasi. Right? It's exactly what the Ra'ah and the Ritva are saying, right? Which is Kiyu Matnai al Yadei Ones, right? Maybe is lo shma Kiyu Matnai. Right? But I Kiyu Matnai Biglal Ones is lo shma Kiyu Matnai. Correct? So the fact that the Ran didn't give that answer shows that he doesn't think of that Chiluk, even in our Sugya, is correct. He's Mechalik between Gittin and Kiddush. It could be that the Ra'ah and the Ritva will tell you that you don't have to be Mechalik between, you know, Das Bal Korchav Get, and there's no reason to be Mechalik between Gittin and Kiddush either, as far as we know. Right?
I think the Ra'ah says, he says that the base,
that there is. Yeah, yeah, they're the same, because he doesn't have that pressure of Rish Lakish. That's exactly what's going on. Okay, so the point is that Rish Lakish, so in Rabbi Yochanan we understand the stira, that we understand the Ram's approach, we understand what the Ra'ah and the Ritva could say, right, and so on. But what are you going to do with Rish Lakish? So I think the two possibilities of Rish Lakish, what I said yesterday. Either Rish Lakish is a pure Umdana man, right? Now again, let's fit in the words. What are the words of the Yerushalmi? Again, for Rabbi Yochanan, already it's, you know, it's a little bit disappointing. You know, we lost, you know, some of the formulation, you know, impact here. Right? Rabbi Yochanan is basically saying, what? Let's say according to the Ra'ah and the Ritva, right? For Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is basically saying that, you know, lo ba ba'ones, lo shma ba. What are the actual words of Rabbi Yochanan? Ones, what? Command the law of it. So that's a little disappointing. I mean, that just means, so it takes, it doesn't mean anything, basically. Ones is command the law of it, meaning he's saying, that's his way of saying this idea, probably, right? Not necessarily according to the Ram, but according to Rabbi Yochanan. I mean, according to the Ra'ah and the Ritva, meaning, lo ba, lo shma ba. Onus is not keman the abid. Okay, that's not so bad. Not so bad. It's just not so mechudash. It's not very mechudash, though, right? Meaning, when you don't do something because of an onus, it's not as if you did it. That's what those words will end up meaning, according to the Ra'ah and the Ritva. That's how they'll best read the Yerushalmi. Right. What about Rish Lakish? So if we take Rish Lakish as the Umdana approach, so again, that's the most disappointing. That's where we kind of really lose the phrase. Because what does Lakish say? Onus keman the Ovid. What's he saying? I mean, lo ba biglal ones shma ba. I mean, that isn't true. Right, no matter what you say about Maisa Ba'ones formally, it's not, you can't make of a non-action, and a non-action is never an action if you require it. So what do you really have to say for Reish Lakish? What do those words mean? Akiva. There? There it is. What do the words mean for Reish Lakish? Just like a loose way of saying what? Then we go by the Umdana. Exactly. Onus command David. Right, you can't take a low ba and make it into a ba. But what you could say is, we don't care. We don't care about ba. We don't care about low ba. What we care about is you know, what does he want? Even in Kiddushin, right? Even though it's one-sided. It's not one-sided, sorry. But he made the kid. What did he mean? So we're saying it's Anus, Keman, the Ovid. Forget about the formalism. We're going straight to Rachmana Liba boy. I don't mean a little, but I'm not getting sentimental in mind. All right? That right? Kiva? Oh. But there's another way to read Reish Lakish. If we take the Tanai Mil Sachriti approach, I think, I'm suggesting. Avi, what is that? What's the other way? Basically, what did we just say? No? Yakir? Even though the Tanai was set up in a positive way, imbasi areza get areza kedushin, right? But al pidin every Tanai, even the ones that look like a kiyum, they're not really a kiyum. They're all mil sachriti. They're all just the ability to pull down the maisa.
Right.
So how do you? So what would you say? Yeah, in other words, even though it's formulated as a... Basically, when I say im basi hare at bekudeshes, what I really mean to say is, al pidin, what I'm really saying is, im lo basi, right, ein zen bekudeshes. That's not what I said, but that's what it gets translated to al pidin because of the sin of mil sachriti. But once that's the case, then what really happened here? Lo basi bonus. That's exactly like our sugya again. So lo basi ba'ones shma lo basi or not? Ah, so now Reish Lakish says, Onis keman the avid. Don't think that onis isn't the maisa. Right? This lo basi am I saying it right or not? One second, let me say it one more time. Again, he says imbasi, he's loba, but there's no loba beratzon. One second. Loba ba'onus lo shma loba, because ones is keman. Onus is command to Ovid means what? How, according to Reish Lakish, if you say that? Or it's still no good?
Yeah.
What?
You could say that Reish Lakish is Shema Ba, that's a little bit more Kiddush, but that would be taking command to Ovid to work. It's as if he came, Shema Ba.
It's as if he came, but it's not because if he came because he came, but because you don't need him to come. You need him to not come. What?
Lack of a bittul.
Correct. Okay. So that is, Shai pointed out to me after the shiur, and then I looked it up and I saw that I had it underlined in my own Rabbi Avraham ben Ahar, so I thank you for reminding me of it, that Rabbi Avraham ben Ahar in the Darim on Chavzai, you have language?
Yeah.
What? There's something missing there also, at least in the, I assume we have the same Rabbi Avraham ben Ahar.
In the red ones.
Yeah. The red Rabbi Blau.
Yeah.
So there's some, there's apparently with some.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that, again, say it one more time, slower, a little slower. He's playing with the language. Just let me explain this before what to look for. We have this a little bit in the Shita Gubetzis in Ksuvas 2, which hopefully we'll get to today. If not, we'll get to when we finish up tomorrow. But they're going back and forth. Some of the Rishonim are really struggling, you know, with this. We'll see the Miri also with what is Kiyum and what is Bittul here. And Rabbi Avraham ben Ahar seems to be doing that. At least that's how I read it. I assume that's how you read it too, right, Jai?
I think so.
not unless he's not working with Umdana.
No.
Yeah. Chas v'shalom, right? Okay. So one more time. Now, a little slower. Ilu kiem tna'o, which is, of course, that's lo ba ki'ilu ba, right?
What?
Yeah. So I think that what he is saying, again, it's a little bit murky, is exactly, I think what he's trying to get at is exactly this point. I mean, he is trying to say that, he is trying to say that we can turn the kiyum hatnai into a bitul hatnai, and on the bitul hatnai level, right, this is lo shma, a bitul ba'ones is lo shma bitul. Okay? So that, I think, is what is happening there. Now, of course, this really depends on this question of ones b'tnai. So let me just talk on this question of mil sacharity. So let me talk about mil sacharity for a couple of more minutes. Yeah.
Is there anything that's possible to say that, like a bashur
kaddish
with an ones, that it's
mamish kamanda
on a lach level?
That lo ba is kamanda ba?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you could ever say that. Because I just don't think.
Why?
What?
Is there a particular reason why you really think
you can't say that?
Yeah.
Well, because you didn't come. To say you did something, but it doesn't count legally, is one thing. To say you didn't do something, and it LP did, you did it. What is it? Machshava Tova, Kadosh Baruch Hu Mitzar Falamaisa. So that's, you know, very nice in terms of schar ve'onesh and things like that. But I mean, I don't think you could ever take a non-action and turn it into an action if you need an action. What I'm trying to do legally is take the action that you need into a bittul of that action, making the e ba'a into the hagdara hilchatit. I don't think you can, you know, otherwise. If you say umdana, you could say, because again, you're ignoring it. But I don't think you could ever say ma'isa shelo asa biglal ones ki ilu asa. It's not extra credit. The extra credit part could work for the umdana. I'm saying. Yeah, I don't think it could go further than
that. The case of Pascha Mabra, it's called Shmei Masya.
Right.
Iran does refer to that case of Pascha Mabra as Shmei Masya.
Yeah. But again, I think because the Ran, again, the language in the Ran, I'll try to get to in a couple of minutes, but I think because the Ran is really working with Umdana. So it is Shmei Masya because this is what he intended to do. But if you legally, formally, contractually needed Masya, and he's on the other side of the bridge, he's not there. You know, lo asa biglal ones is not asa. I think that is true. The only ways to get around that is either we don't care, we care about the umdana, or even a kiyum atnai is really mostly the lack of bitul atnai, and on a bitul, lo bitul ba, you know, baratzon. Lo bitul baratzon, lo nechshav kibitul, which is the way I'm suggesting to read. Now again, this... but what we also want to get on the... I'll get that in a second, okay. So, again, this very much depends on this mil sacharity thing. I just wanted to point out that it's not just Tosis. First thing I wanted to point out is what I said the other day, which is that what Tosis says on Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph and what Tosis says on Nun Vav Amud Aleph are really two different points, but there is very possibly an important overlap between the two. In other words, on Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, Tosis was trying to explain that to impose a tnai is not such a simple matter. Meaning that there are issues in imposing a tnai, because normally you would think either you take it or you leave it. You want to do this or you don't want to do it. How do you, you know, append, you know, and link some other, you know, subject matter to this? Okay. That doesn't have to mean that tnai is mil sacharity, but once you know that, you know, that the whole institution of tnai may be a chiddush, the idea that you can do that on Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, what Tosfos is trying to explain about the connection between Shlichus and Tnai, makes more sense. Again, it's not Chobah HaTalia, but I just want to point out there's a link. Okay. Beyond that, I just wanted to mention a couple of the issues that I wanted you to look at. One, of course, is the discussion of the Tshuvas HaRosh, because the Tshuvas HaRosh says this very, very strongly. So what does the Tshuvas HaRosh speak about? Adam?
Talks about if you make a tnai, such like she has to give you 200 zos so you get to be chal, and you're more chal on a tnai, is that considered kiyum?
If you drop a tnai, right? Well, you said it in an interesting way. Is that considered kiyum? Is that how he? He does talk about that, but is that the whole issue? That already kind of biases the whole thing, right?
I think once he brings his variety, he discusses like that. But the original question is, can you drop it tonight?
Yeah, exactly. And we'll see how the formulations go. So just let's look at this for a couple of minutes, because it's very very fundamental. So there were two tshuvas like this. Can you drop it tonight? So you can understand very well that. This is very much part of our topic. Right. But what Adam just said, is important. Right? When we talk about, dropping a t'nai, so the more extraneous t'nai is, even, once it is formulated, the easier it is maybe to de-link again. Right. Now, the ability to bevatel t'nai is probably something which could be justified under all conditions. Let me say it the other way. Let's say you can't be mevatel tonight. Like, what would that be based on? So again, the more you think that tonight is and remains, it's not only the chiddush haTorah, but even after the chiddush haTorah, it remains something extraneous. So why can't you drop it? Decouple, as long as you have a mechanism to do so. But if it becomes, when you're mechazik it, or if you didn't hold like tosis, part of the das alamaisa, or even if you take the view that, you do this hyphenation or this circle, trick that I keep talking about, which is you keep, acknowledging for certain halachos it's going to be important for that the tanai and the maisa are different, right? Maybe that's why tanai and maisa are not bedavar echad. But, the fate of one now depends on the other. So the question is, can you take away the hyphen? Can you take away the circle? If it's all become one hagdara, with an A, B, it's not all A, but it's in a circle or a hyphen, can you do that, or you have to start from scratch? Now, if you were to say ki'ilu hiskabalti, which is what Adam said a second ago, right? Or ki'ilu ki'aim, that might be a whole different way to justify this thing. It's not so much that you're decoupling or that you're dropping the t'nai, as much as maybe al-pidin, we consider that you're fulfilling the t'nai. But that's tricky too, right? Because it gets back to what we were talking about a second ago. Can you fulfill a t'nai? Can you be mekayim a t'nai, just because you're not makbid on it anymore? Okay, but in the halacha, there is such a mechanism. Sometimes we say, ki'ilu hiskabalti. So when it comes to, let's say, mamonis, money, or hana, right, if that's, what we're talking about, so to say, something that didn't happen is if HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzar for lemaisa, ki'ilu iskabalti, is easier. Because you might say, the original t'nai isn't about the dollars and the cents, and it's not about the hana, ki'ilu iskabalti, the fact that you were going to give it to me, the fact that I'm in the driver's seat, the fact that I could get it, that's ki'ilu iskabalti. Okay, there's a notion of ki'ilu iskabalti when it comes to hana and mamon that maybe you could push this far. So then basically what I'm saying is you can't drop the t'nai, but you were flexible in how you define kiyum t'nai. That is the shita of who, by the way? David? Either David can answer. Who's shita? About ki'ilu iskabalti. Well, we'll see, the Rush quotes that as well. Adam's 100% correct. You see what's going on there in the Rush. Shmuel? Who's Shita? Quickly, because I want to get through this. Isaac? What? No, I don't think so. Gabe? Rajba. Right, the Rajba in Ksuvah, Staf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, right, says what?
He says that it only works for things that are,
where
you can say that you got
done. He says you can drop a t'nai. The sugya, but we talked about it a little bit. Because it's, Harat Mukudesh, there's a t'nai in the Kedushin, and then they go to the Nisuin, and the question is whether Yesh t'nai been Nisuin or not. Not the Orsameach's question, right? But, was there Mechilas HaTnai? Implicitly. What do you mean Mechilas HaTnai? What happened to the t'nai? Right? So there are two issues there. Number one, can it be mochel, can it be mevatel at t'nai? Right? Number two, what about 8-8? Do you need an 8-8 kiyum for this bitul at t'nai? Those are two issues. But again, you understand this is our topic in a way. We're talking about, it's another permutation of our topic. Other enough that it might be different, right? But it's on the, you know, it's connected. And we're trying to figure out if an ones prevented the kiyum matanai, you know, what's the story? No one's to blame, but the tanai didn't get fulfilled. Here we're talking about the tanai was set up, it was set up properly, right? And after the fact, right, the tanai is dropped. Can you drop the tanai? And if you do drop the tanai, you know, how is that going to work, and under what conditions? So basically, we have three shitas. Rajba says you can only drop a tanai if it's something about which you can say kilu is kabal. Exactly what Gage just said. So that is we understand. It's a bit of a chiddush too, but we understand it, right? That basically means kiyum atanai. The Rambam and Raivid. Somebody said here Rambam, right? Who said? David? Or Adam? Who said? Isaac said, sorry. That's a machlokes Rambam Rais, that's what he had in mind. Are we gentlemen? Maybe. Or being done to Kavschos. I think I'm being done to Kavschos. Yeah. Well, very honest of you to say that. I admire that. So, what is the debate between the Rambam and the Raivin, Isaac? Well, you need a kiyum. So, that is an interesting argument. It can be explained probably in one of two ways. Right? One is, you know, what is the threshold that requires a dekiyum in matters of gittin v'kedushin? Right? Do peripheral things in gittin v'kedushin require a dekiyum, or just things that are more part of the real maisa kedushin or the das, etc.? Mashal l'madav v'domeh, there's also debate between the Rambam and the Raivid about minui shliach laholacha and minui shliach lekabala in gittin and kedushin. That's not our topic right now. But if you want to look at the Rambam and the Raivid in Perek Gimel, Hilchos Ishus Halacha Tesvav, right, you'll see about that. And then Perek Vav Hilchos Gerushin, and Reb Chaim speaks about it in Perek Vav Hilchos Gerushin, I believe. But yeah, that's a big, big, massive topic. And whether you're Michalik between one or the other meaning Shliach Halacha, Shliach Kabbalah, one or the other meaning Gittin or Kedushin, not for now. There's a whole, like, range of views. What do you need Eidei Kiyum for? That's one part of the topic. But unquestionably, the other half of that topic is, how do we assess whether it's a shliach laholacha and kabbalah and gittin v'kedushin, which is certainly not our topic right now, or t'nai, to what extent are they peripheral, are they achriti, if you will, let's just use the same phrase for convenience. Right? The more the t'nai is milsa achriti, and it's ma'akev, right, but it's never really got hyphenated in, or dots, Das in, it's set up as a ma'akev. So then you'd have to have an extreme view of the need for the pragmatic need for edikiyum and anything affecting gittin v'kedushin to think that you need edikiyum. Right? The Raivid assumes that you need edikiyum, and the Rambam doesn't think so. Okay? So you might say, oh, that's partly this machlokas. If you think, again, either it's an edikiyum question or if you think that the t'nai becomes part of the hagdara of the maisa, so then, if you know, it's questionable whether you can change it. If you can change it, then you need edikiyum to change it, right? And again, is the edikiyum to change it, or because implicitly you're scrapping it all and starting all over again? Rabbi Kiveger, if you look at the Frankel Rambam on that Rambam, seems to have understood that you're scrapping it and starting all over again. I don't think that's what the Raivid really means. But either way, it's a fascinating argument. But the Rush, when he discusses this question in both places, so he discusses it on two levels. Number one, can you say kilu hiskabalti, like the Rajba? Unquestionably, yeah, the Rajba in mind. Right? And the other one is, can you just drop it because the whole thing was milsachriti? But that it used to be milsachriti, and that's why you need mishpatei tanaim is one thing. Once you have mishpatei tanaim, is it still milsachriti? And you can just drop it? Right? Not so simple to know. So this is on Lamed Hey Tess. Im avriyud beis chodesh ulaba ba kodem zman achron yava kiddushin ala. I'm sorry. Mishe bedata lelech nidin siyam bekidei sha'isha Al Tanai Imbasi Mikan Adyun Bes Kodesh Tiyam Bekudeshas Me Akshav Kodim Shahalach Nisratzo Ishva Isha Laharich Mana Tanai. They want to adjust it. Question is, can they do that or not? Shuva, Yira Lee the Haba Kiddushin, Shaim Nisrat, Ishnaim Levata, Latanai Haba Mukudesh, Safilim Halak Nidina Sayam, Shayosim Yud Bez Kodesh, the Kol Maisa Shanasa Betanai, Benisrat, Levata, Latanai, Hamaisa Kayam. Vechei Mukak Perkamandir, quotes the Gemara, right, that we were just talking about, Kitchel Tanai. Yafagab the Ikar Maisa Osal Tanai, Benichbala Tanai, Shimlo Iskaim Ataishia Maisa Batal, if you know Haki, that there is Mifte time, Yachal Levata, Latanai, Be Yishara Maisa Bimakovo. Mishum to mitznai b'nei godu b'nei ruvein alfinanshiyesh koach b'tznai levatel hamaisa. Ooh, that's interesting, right? Not that the tznai again, you know, not that the tznai is a condition in the keel or in the das. It's a al pidin. It's a mevatel. The afil lo yiskay matay yamaisa kayim. Afilu kafle l'tznai. Lochi boy sheyatay legamri k'tznai b'nei godu b'nei ruvein. Tanai kafel, tanai kodem lemaisa, hang kodem lelav. Interesting. Here he utznai maisa b'davar echad. Here he adds also she'efshar lasa sayde shliach. You might have said the efshar lasa sayde shliach part isn't just a bil sachriti. Maybe that's part of the hagdara of his bailus along the lines of Tosas, right? Ayin dalad amid aleph. But okay, the chidushu ve'in lechabol lechidusha. But he's saying that, remember, even after the fact, right? Not just to explain why, if you didn't do it properly, it wouldn't be makif. Why you can drop it even when you did it properly. That's a chiddush. The kivin shekenu shamaisa hu bifnei atzmo v'roi liyiskayim below kiyum atanai. This is after the fact. Ela d'alfinu b'tai begod ruven im ken yochel l'vata l'atanai shehu maisa bifnei atzmo v'in kiyum amaisa talui bo. The dibor bi almahu v'asa dibor debitel t'nai u'mavatel dibor shol t'nai v'nishra maisa kayim. He plugs it into Sugya and Kiddushin. Of Dibur Mavatal Dibur. What do you mean Dibur Mavatal Dibur? It's Dibur Mavatal Maisa. He was Mekadesh Al Manas. That's all part of the Maisa Kiddushin now, isn't it? Right? With a hyphen, with a circle, because of the dot. Nope. Nope. The Maisa Kiddushin just remains Haret Mukadeshously. The rest is just Bil Sachriti, even after the Chizuk. And so on. Ooh, that's where he mixes up a little bit. He obviously doesn't mean it. That's what Adam, one of the things Adam was talking about, right? You'll see the other one, it's more clear. Here he says, oh, Mechila Satanai is Kiyumo. But he doesn't mean it the way the Rajma means it. The Rajma means it, the Tanai is part of the Hagdara now. Or whether he ever held like the Bali Tosis, you know, maybe not. Because there are other ways to answer Tosis' question on Nidbav. Or even if he did, maybe once you do it properly, it becomes integrated, either as Das, or as this, you know, Habahatalia, they're all together. The fate of one, you know, is dictates the fate of the other. Right? Sounds like, you know, a little bit Tolkien, right? One fate to bind them all. Anyway, what? You're pointing at someone else? Oh, he did? Oh, wow. Okay, Barsha Kivanti. Here he's not saying, he doesn't mean it's Kilus Kabalti. What he means is, that it's not integrated, it's accessible, and therefore you want to drop it, drop it. The chihechi the yochal levatel tna'o ken yochal l'shanos tna'o l'hosif o'legroa. See, to me, that's not so simple. Even if you were to take the view that this is all linked, right, can you just adjust it? So if you mean by adjusting it, scrapping it, you know, just like the software kicking in and doing it bevasachas, but you're scrapping it, you're starting over again, you're menaseach another tanai, like the way Rabbi Jaeger understood the, you know, the Rambam, the Raibid with the Ede Kiyum. Okay, but I don't think he means that. I think what he means is, again, because I might have said, okay, you know what, it's a hyphen, so the din is that you can break the hyphen, but you can't adjust it. At least that part is all or nothing. It became part of the new Hagdara. Either scrap it and start again. Maybe you can drop it. Right? What do you mean, kol kihechi? The yochel levatel tanoi, yochel leshanos tanoi, lahosif aligroa. The answer is because why not? The dami lahod arminim beperik vaser the gittim. Not so simple. The avagav the hosam mayir etc. Avagav shekvar ba kiddushin liad isha yochel lahosif al tanoi kodim kiven shemitchila baliyado al yidei tanoi vadayin lo miskayim at tanoi umitla toli a kiddushin ad sheis barer miskayim at tanoi v'chein yochel levatel lahosif aligroa etc. Okay, that's the smaller one. The bigger one is more of an interesting progression. What did I say the bigger one is in? Memvav? Where is it? Yeah, Memvav. Memvav base. Shemir is Misha Giris is Ishto al Tanai. Im lo yavir adzman ploni. She get to betoch hazman bital at Tanai. Yerelisha muteris linasa li alter ve'enu tzricha lahamtin ad sheyagi hazman. Ki the bital at Tanai chol aget lamafreya. Mishnas Nasino Ki'ilu Higia Zman Atnai bin Iskai. That's why Adam was. Where's Adam? Oh, there he is. 1000% in his rights to say it that way. Okay? That's how he starts off. And this time, when he starts off in this piece, he really means it. Right? In the other piece, when he said that line, it was already after he committed to a bit of a different formulation. Here he really means it. Okay? I'm skipping a little bit. That's Rajba-esque. He's not saying umdina, but he is saying kilu is kabalti here. The mechilas atnai hu kikiyumo. I'm skipping some sentences. His kabel. Nimtza tnai zeh mikoch ha'isha ba ha'bal hiskim ha'yada v'yaldaita v'adaita d'hochi nasnula v'ein b'yada l'vata l'tanai. In other words, once you say ki'ilu iskabalti, there can be all sorts of differences. Right, the quality tnai, is it mamon, is it hana, is it l'tovasa, is it simply shalo l'tzara, that might dictate. Alma tnai shi hisnesa ha'isha v'ha'bal hiskim ha'va tnai. This is very fascinating, even though there are two people here, but since he is in the driver's seat, so he basically is maskim to her tanai, that's his haskama, not hers. That's a separate question, right? Within the world of Ki'ilu Iskabal, this might be an umdana issue too. Getting back to the Ran's question, right? What happens when there are two people? Well, Gittin, there are two people, but it's Balkarcha de Isha. But let's say it's a Tnai Latovasa, rather than Latovasa that he agreed to. Do we still remember that the fact that he agreed to it is what makes it binding, and therefore we don't really care in the end of the day about her sensibility? Or is his agreement, to her Tovasa and Hanasa still limit the ability to say Ki'ilu Iskabalti or Mochel or even Umdana? Right, that's a secondary question, both on the Ki'ilu Iskabalti level and on the Umdana level, which the Rush is discussing and recording different views on. In the end of the day, he's going to say that in Gittin, it all comes back to him anyway. Kivin Shabal, Masna Biyoda Levatel, Afa Pishihi Lo Haisa Kafetza Levatel, Ageta Levitznai Zeh. The inner roads of the bitul atnai, the kamokum kivin shabaget li yadam, the gereshes lo bina dasa isha beget, the yosem mizor mina biyavamos, and so on. Okay. Umasha talisi adavar bidasa isha betchilas devarai, the kasafti mivatal haget, the hichafetza, the bitul obishvil shanu tsrichem the kafetza, el nira yehe kaover al takonis rabenu gershom. Also interesting. Allah kalmaisa, once a rabbi gershom, right, said that you can't be megarish bal karcha, that changes the equation in terms of bitul aget to this issue. Very fascinating tshuva. Oh, then he says, Haresha kasav she'af b'mokrom she'in asinus adam imo'eles b'lo mechila kivinu tz'uru kamechavein apilohachi bitul atzanai mo'el. The milsa the pshuta the dibur mevatal dibur. Now he's going beyond. It isn't just kiyum, kilu kiskay, kilu iskabalti, or umdina. And then you have that other question, what about her ratzon, her das, that he agreed to, with or without Rabbeinu Gershom? Right, Kerem Rabbeinu Gershom. Now we're getting to the real nitty-gritty, right? What about without all of that? It's not kilu iskabalti, it's not kilu kiyamti. After all, maybe it's dibur mevatal dibur. Well, that's not dibur mevatal dibur, because it was a maisa kiddushin almanas, right? That's part of the maisa now. How did it come part of the maisa? Because it's either part of the das or part of the hyphenated maisa. It's AB. That's what he's saying. Kol shekein dibur achron yevatal dibur shel tnai l'kayim maisa nesinas. No, that's not the way we look at it. Right, Herich kvodcha b'megarish al tnai u'bitol tnai v'aniba b'ketzara v'dikdakta b'dvarav shu sover sheni yochel levatel atnai kiven shiget liyada chutz mikvodcha ein lahavi ha'u demishachsel l'megarish al tnai u'batel atnai. Okay, he's going back and forth to try to show that the opponent is wrong. He thinks you can't be mevatel atnai gamzel l'shayich lo l'megarish al tnai u'batel atnai v'leidam l'ayin v'meishachsu u'nevesu de paska mivra. Right, what we were talking about before. Vinis batel get me mela. Iloim batel tnai haya get chalama freya. So of course we understand that isn't really kiyum, right? He thinks that's what you asked me before, right? But it isn't. So what is it? It's not bitala tanai. But that's really what the Rush cares about. Still yachol. Afilo hachi yachol levatla tanai v'maisa kayu. What? Now, why is this? Why? Notice the shift to not the tnai is a condition in the kiyum, but the tnai is a circumstance that justifies bittul. Im lo yiskayim, there's not a lack of kiyum. The im lo yiskayim is a bittul. The ilav the alfina mehasam lo avik koach b'tnai levatel amaisa. The afim lo niskayim atnai yehamaisa kayim afilu b'kafli tnai, because it is considered koach levatel. So mostly the Rush is being very careful to use language which emphasizes exactly what I'm suggesting, right, for Reish Lakish and in general, which is that really kiyum atnai is just a misnomer. Every kiyum atnai is a method of bitul amaisa. V'lahachi binan shiyat atnai legamri kitnai begar beruven kafel tnai kodem amaisa ein kodem ladav tnai bedavar echad maisa bedavar echad. Here he doesn't mention efshel asay deshliach. The chiddush shivein lecha balechidusha mekimin shekain amaisa udavar bifnei atzmo veroy liskayim below kiyum atnai. It's not, even when he says and he hands it over, that's not part of the maisa. But the other Rishonim will disagree. At least post, and when he does it tonight properly, maybe even before. Avadika maisa nesina samosi al isha koshkein shadibra al bitul atnai yachal lebatel, and so on. And then you have some really nice stuff in the end. You know, there's nothing to do with our topic. But Mein ani Elai Shemayim Ba'aretz Eini Choker V'Chopes V'Chotek Levatel Dvarecha Ma esa torasenu toras emes, veinodam rashoy lahachlifba, gamdam rzeu din eishasish, veishvatsad mamzerus, veinoroy lechapos, veinyomalacha kabal daiti, achim yurlacha divrei chain, hoda'a, right? Vimlo yurlacha, ksov daitcha, shevach lakel, yesh beir, mevinim, yesh svarim beir, yochichu ben shneinu lonasa shte toros. Kain roy liparin min adavar below gamar. Kivin sheish tzad mamderes bedavar. El tomar ina charecha gadol behir shoroi lachriya alacha. Halo shanino dine mamanas. Hataris atmeos matkilim min agdolim. Himachlo kolav hare gadol mukhra min aktanim. Shalom kanefesh. Asher ben yachiyo. That's like nice. Obviously this is a very controversial issue. And there were a lot at stake. Anyways. So this same idea we find also in the Ravid. Again, we just don't know the maskana in the Ravid. That's the Ravid. Regarding what? Sure. In Zchiya Batanu, did you get to see it? Let's see it. No? Ellie? No one saw the Ravid. David? Kiva? Avi? Yeah. The Ravid on the Rambam bit of a Zchiya. So the Gaonim had this view, because again, they were addressing the same problem. Just get ready to read it if you don't mind in just a second. Maybe they were addressing this problem of how come, you know, so many cases in Shas, you know, are lacking the Mishpatei Tanan. We already mentioned Me'achshav, maybe it's the Almanas, maybe because the Me'achshav makes everything, you know, anyways into a, you know, a different kind of a performance, different kind of a relationship, whatever, different explanations, right? So the Gonim had a view to be mechalek between Mamon and Isu, right? The Ram didn't like that view. The Ram asked the question from Pnai Begod Beruvain itself, because Pnai Begod Beruvain says the Rambam, and really the Rif said it earlier, or some of the Gonim said it, seems to be Dine Mamonis. So what's this idea that in Dine Mamonis, you don't have Mishpatei Tanoim? The whole Mishpatei Tanoim is based on Dine Mamonis. So, like two or three people here, and it happened to be in the summer, I happened to give a shiur on this topic, to suggest that the whole point, according to these Gaonim, and there's obviously other rayas for it as well, is that you know, the chalukas aretz of Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven, you know, while it expressed itself in real estate, was really not about real estate. It was about the legacy of Klal Yisrael. And of course, there's many, many rayas for that idea. Right? It's really about Nachalas Haaretz, which, you know, is the reason why, you know, family legacy land is Chozer B'Yovel, and why, you know, Chiluk and Yeshiva, you know, was critical for certain of the mitzvahs of Tliyas Haaretz. Meaning, it's not really mominous. It's Isurim, and there are a lot of Nafkamina. You know, certain areas of Halacha which look like mominous. Nachla is another great example. We talked about the Chukas Mishpat. Right, Chukas Mishpat for the Rambam is Rambam's way. It's not Masa Masha Kosa B'Torah, but it's Nidav Rishab Mamon, because it's about family legacy. But okay, that aside. Anyways, this was a Deya, and I think that's, you know, an approach. Maybe that's what the Ravid was getting at, maybe not, we'll see in a moment. But how do we understand this idea anyway? That in Mamonis, right, you don't need Mishpatei Tanoim, and in Ishus, let's say, or Isurim, you do need Mishpatei Tanoim. How come? What's the difference? Right? But that's what the Ravid, trying to explain the Shita, came up with, again, a very fascinating episode. Avi, go ahead. Is it conceivable that you make a condition in a matter of Dine Mamonis, the guy doesn't live up to his part of the deal, but because he didn't have a good lawyer, you know, checking the thing, so you're going to cheat him out of the agreement, right? Well, you can ask that question about any Mishpatei Tanoim, where we say Tanai Batel Maisakai, right? So keep going.
Parshuvo,
Yeah. So the Bnei Gad or Reuven is not our topic now. Whether the Rabbi is saying what I'm saying, or something different, that again, that we'll leave that for another discussion. But he says something very remarkable here. So this is a very idealistic statement of the Rabbi, which I like very much. How you know true it is? I hope it's always true. But the point is that you can be malek, you can be cholek al divrei haraibid in two directions. That's basically what. So Avi, how would you characterize it? So what's the formula of the Rabbi? What's the Rabbi saying? When it comes to dine mamonis, says the Rabbi. Or part of your das, at least. That's what like they say when you go, you know, when you do one of these high stakes deals, you know, like we're all involved in all the time. So they always tell you, you know, the guy on the other side says, you know, listen, you know, the devil is in the details. Okay. And then you're always like, what's he mean by that? Okay. But then you know the Rabbi, you understand what he means by that. The Rabbi is saying, in other words, what? You're gonna get another, you're gonna try to squeeze another concession out of him. Because you think you have him on the ropes, right? You're in a better negotiating position, says the Ravid. No, it's, you know, it's dine mamonis. So this all is it worth it for you or not? The conditions, the devil, and the details means that, you know, the little sifei katan, the pirte pratim here, are what, you know, that would make it worth it or not worth it. The truth is, if one person is not in a, you know, in a much more advantageous position in a negotiation, then that's probably true, right? You could cholek on this idea, you know, if you wanted to argue. And again, you know, the Rishonim said mishpatei tanoim are required in dine mamonis. Most Rishonim say amaskana, but I'm going to tell you that's not always true. You know, sometimes you have the guy over a barrel, and you're trying to squeeze a few x. You're taking advantage of your, you know, your position. So these are fringe benefits. Really, the deal, you want this real estate, you're going to get it without this extra fringe benefit. But you have them over a barrel, you might as well squeeze them for all he's worth. I'm not proposing this. I'm just telling you how it's going to work. So that's milsach rid. And the Rabbi is saying, well, the people who thought that in dine mamonis there's no such thing as mishpatei tanoim, no requirement in mishpatei tanoim, they're going to tell you, well, in dine mamonis it's all pretty fluid, so whatever you can get, you deserve. And it's all, you know, the details of, you know, the transaction that it's, you know, the guy could blink and he could walk away, or he could not blink. I'm sure which is the blinking. Blinking is conceding? No, the guy could not blink and walk away. Sorry. Okay. Like, I've done a lot of these high stake deals, but I get a little confused. I haven't succeeded in them, obviously. So, right. So, but when it comes to Isha, says the Rabbid, right, you're going to marry this this person. Why are you going to marry her? Because of what the Rabbi says, because what I wrote at the beginning of Bali and Efesh, right? Because I really feel that, you know, she's my, you know, etzem etzama, you know, of Chava. You know, it's the existential bond. So then you go to the father and you say, you know, I want another, you know, $250. Right, so you think you're in a strong bargaining position, and you know it's a blinking thing, but basically, yeah, that's not why you want to do this. You know, that's called a fringe benefit. It doesn't integrate into the ikar das. Now, again, in, you know, there are people who will tell you that both of these things are not true, right? That the, you know, there's a time when you have das on a transaction, but you know you might as well take advantage and exploit your advantageous position and get fringe things, and maybe some of the details of you know of the it's not always Masayim Zuz, sometimes it's other things, you know, it's I want to marry Rivka, I want Rivka to marry Yitzchak, but only on condition that she leaves the house of Lavan, you know, and goes back to the house of Avram. Why? That's not just like, you know, taking advantage. That's not a fringe benefit, because if they have to live in Lavan's house, it's going to be a different kind of marriage, right? And it's going to be a different Rivka, a different Yitzchak, and, you know, and the children are going to be different. There can be things in Surim and in Ishus where the Tanai matters, and there can be things in Dini Mamonis where the Tanai is fringe. But it's a, I think it's a terrific writing. Very idealistic, and I embrace it wholeheartedly. Mostly that's the case. But what's the idea? What's the yisod that the Ravid is expressing? Tanai mil sachriti. He's saying, well, it's only mil sachriti in Ishus. But what's also interesting is the formulation of what does Mishpatei Tanai do? Again, one more time, Avi. Chizek. It's Hiflig B'Dvarim in the other case. I mean, it's not the real Das. Right? What does this do? In Ishus, what does the Mishpatei Tanai do? So it's not clear, right? I mean, does it say, nonetheless, even though it still remains Achriti, but the Achriti can bring this down, or does it say it's Achriti, but you know, when you reformulate it this way, you hyphenate it so that you know, tola one on the other, or maybe you even upgrade the fringe Alpidin into part of the actual Das Alamaisa. Not as clear, right? But there's something going on. The Ravid in Tmim Deim also says this a little bit differently, mostly the same. I have to look at the exact Lashon again, but in one of the pieces in Tmim Deim, he quotes the same idea and he expands it to a little bit different Lashon. It's worth looking at. Anyways, okay. So this is the idea of Tanai Mil Sachriti, both before and after Chizuk HaTanai, and then in light of that, the possibility that Onus B'Tanai, right again, is about Bitul, not Kiyum, and that will transform things in a very considerable way. The other side of the coin, if we are indeed talking about the formal requirement of Kiyum HaTanai, or of Bitul HaTanai, is the question of Ones and its status. So let's talk about that for a couple of minutes, and then we'll try to finish this up tomorrow. Again, tomorrow 12:30 to try to finish this up. And then the day that I come back, just remember everybody, 10:15? Right? Traffic permitting, 10:15, and that will be Divrei Sofrim and Afkinim, right? And then after that, if you get, you know, two ahead when I'm gone, so then start with Lidrashu the Onas Shari, go through the Shaka Vitaria, and the Rashi and the Tosis and the, you know, Shidun Kubetz's different versions of Rabbeinu Tam about Biasakum. I'll give you, before we go, I'll tell you a few more things to look at. Okay, anyways, so let's talk about Onas for a couple of more minutes. Let's talk about that. Oh, and then tomorrow we'll try to put some of these other things together. I still have to go through the language of the Ra'ah and the language of the Ran, because they're worthwhile, but let's just finish the building blocks first. So, again, the background here, of course, is that line in the Gemara and the Darin. The Gemara first starts speaking about Nidrei Ones, you know, and the impact that it has, parallel to our Gemara, right? It's Tanai Ones, that's Nidrei Ones. So the first thing the Gemara says is what? Josh?
Ulanara lotasadav.
Ulanara lotasadav. Onas Rachmana Patra. So as I say, if you're taking an umdana approach, that's not impossible to explain. I suggested today how to explain it. But it is surprising. Initially, that's not what we think we're speaking about. And the Pashtus, you might say, that's exactly what the Gemara, you know, rejects. The continuation of the Gemara Nadarim, when they start speaking about, you know, factors, like Gemara's factors in our Gemara, you know, Onas Shchiach, you know, Nichad Atipole, Kama Yavam. Man, it's exactly what the Gemara's turning. The Gemara originally thought this was a formal question, whether or not it's considered to be a kiyum or a bitul atnai, or a neder, and then the Gemara's conclusion is, you know, there's nothing to do with onus rachmana patre or naral sasadavar. It's really all about umdin. But what's interesting is that the Gemara did say it, so we need to understand that line, and that Rashi and Dav Gimel Amud Aleph here in Ksuvis quotes it. Right, he quotes it. Obviously, he doesn't think it was a, momentary havamina, you know, that got thrown out. Oh. In addition to that, we have the other version of the Rishon, correct? The one that's quoted in the Smag and the Agos Mamunios. What is that again? Yair, did you see that? The other way to read Yushalmi with Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish? Shua? No? You didn't see the Agos Mamunios? version? A chair? There he is. What's the case there, according to the way they're quoting it? Say it again? That's the question. Because it's a case of, they too, instead of having it in Basi, Harayat Mekudeshes, they have in Lo Basi, Harayat Mekudeshes. Or the equivalent, right? Meaning, if I don't do something, Sheval Taisa, B'Sheval Taisa, then the Maisa will be Chal. Correct? Parallel exactly to our Sugya. Now again, according to the Ran, who thought the distinction between Rabbi Yochanan and our Sugya is, you know, two people involved, one person involved. No, fine. And we already saw a little bit of discussion, interesting discussion in the Tumas HaRosh. Right, about, you know, well, are there two people involved in Gittin? The answer is yes, but it's about Karachal, and maybe it depends on the post-Rabbeinu Gershom, pre-Rabbeinu Gershom, right, all those kinds of things. Fine. Maybe even pre-Rabbeinu Gershom, if he's Tola B'daita, fine. All those things. But, if you have that version, so then, you know, everything gets kind of turned around, as we know. We're no longer talking about lo asa maisa ba'onas, you know, hareze ki'ilo asa, you know, the machshava tov idea. What we're talking about is the same as an arsugya, meaning kiyem hamaisa, albeit b'sheval taisa, we'll see if that matters, kiyem hamaisa ba'onas, ha'im nechshav kekiyum atnai or not? That's the question. So now, the language also gets turned around a little bit. Asher, right? So again, let's go slowly. Rabbi Yochanan says, what? It's not a Kiddushin, right? The Kiddushin is not Chal. It's im lo basi harayat mekudeshes. He's lo ba, but accidentally lo ba. So the rule is, ones keman the lo of it. That's what Rabbi Yochanan says. Meaning, Maisa be'ones, lo shkiyum be'ones, lo shma Maisa. Right? Rabbi Yochanan is basically saying that a Maisa be'ones is not a Maisa. That's perfect. Ones, keman, the lo, Ovid, and what is Reish Lakish saying? And in this case, the Kiddushin is Chal. Why? Because Onis is Keman David. It's a Maisa bonus, but it's a Maisa. Again, it doesn't mean that if you have this Girsa, that it's impossible to say that they're arguing about Umdana or whatever. I wouldn't say that, but you don't need to say that anymore. Right, if you have this gear sub, it's very easy to explain that the argument here is whether or not Maisa Ba'ones, Shma Maisa Olo. Right? Now we were trying to say that possibly, even for Reish Lakish, even according to the other way, because we were turning every Kiyum up Tanai into a Bitala Tanai. Okay. But even with all that whole permutation, we don't need that anymore for this gear sub. Right? It seems to, you just say, there's a straight out argument between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, whether Maisa Ba'onas, Shema Maisa or not. So that is why this is very consequential, obviously. Both of these reasons are consequential. The more we see this as there is something called Tanai, you know, whether it used to be Achriti, or it never was Achriti, or now it's no longer Achriti, you know, or even as something that is Achriti, you know, still it needs to be properly fulfilled. But the question is whether Onas is considered a legal action or non-action or not. So the background, a little more background is, first of all, objectively, is this a sensible question? David? Objectively, legally. No Makoros yet. Is this like some crazy idea that there's such an issue, or is it sensible? Opinion. The question whether a Maisa Ba'onas is considered a Maisa. Jonathan?
I think it makes sensible.
Yeah, I mean, every legal system in the world right? Maybe it's a big state. from the beginning of time, right, has to deal with this question. Whether an action under duress, but how do you define actions or legal actions or responsible actions? Right? Is an action under duress considered to be an action or not? Every legal system has to contend with that. Now, Torah says, "Onar l'sasa davar," right? Or "Ones rachmana patre." At minimum, that means, you know, with a couple of exceptions, maybe, which we'll see in a moment, that ones is a ptur onesh. Ones is a ptur onesh. That certainly is understandable. Almost every legal system is going to tell you that too. But just because there's no onesh, namely you don't suffer the consequences of the action that you did, does that mean it's not a legal action? Some issues depend on punishment. You don't deserve to be punished for something you did under duress. Right? An act that is coerced. Not being punished doesn't mean that legally and formally you didn't do it, or that's not attributed to you. It just means you're not blamed for it. Right? So when we say the words onara l'sasa davar, ones rachmana patre, at minimum we're speaking about the onesh. But that's not necessarily the same thing as saying ones keman the lo avid. He didn't do it. Right, which is Rabbi Yochanan is saying in the Yerushalmi, if you have that girsa, if we mean it. But that, so let's look at it from another point of view, right? And other parallel type issues, sure. But there are other kinds of parallel questions. That, again, as we know, a parallel question is not an identical question. Right, Gabi? Right? So where do we have such a parallel question, just to give an example? But they're helpful. It's going to come up again, but came up last year. What? I would ask Josh, but he wasn't here last year. Yeah. Shabbos. Oh, that's your answer? But be more specific, for example. What in Shabbos? Dov Shana Miskabein. Right, we'll get to Dape, we'll see, we'll discuss it again. Dov Shana Miskabein, Misasek. Right, last year we talked about to both Dov Shana Miskabein and Misasek. Is Dov Shana Miskabein or Misasek considered to be a Maisa Veira? Right? Rabbi Kiveger, right? The famous Tshuva of Rabbi Kiveger. So Misasek is a great example. Now, Misasek is not onus, and Dov Shana Miskabein is a lot closer to misasek than it is to anus, but you know, Dov Shana Miskabein means I do X, right? I do a pu'ula, who I like to call it. I do a pu'ula, and it could result, I know meirosh that it could result in a certain maisa, let's assume it's not a psikresha, but it doesn't have to, right? I pull a bench, you know, and it might make a charitz or it might not. I don't know in advance, but I know it might. That's called Dov Shana Miskabein. I wear, you know, kilayim, but you know, I'm not wearing it for the sake of wearing it. I'm wearing it as a walking, breathing mannequin. Okay, something from like a science fiction horror story, right? I have to keep Ravi interested. So, just think of it. So the point is that that's Dov Shana Miskabein. Is that considered, we say, if you hold like Rav Shimon, right, so Dov Shana Miskabein is mutter, so that's an onus statement or my saver statement? Misasek. Misasek is, I thought I was doing A and I ended up doing B. I wasn't aware, right? Miskabein lachtoch tolush v'chotach es hamechubar. Or the Melechus Machsheves type. Miskabein lachtoch mechubar zeh v'chotach mechubar achir. We'll talk about it when we get to it. We're not going to discuss it right now. But the point is in Dov Shana Miskabein and a Misasek, there's a big discussion, right? Whether or not it's considered a Maisa Veil. A Mai Nafka Mina, things like a Kabbalah Nidraba Mine, and whether Chayav, you know, lafrisho or not. See somebody doing something b'derech misasek or in a miskaven, you know, well, in a miskaven different, but say misasek, you have to warn him, right? So let's say you did a maisa ba'ones, is there kamo b'drava mineh? Right, that the after lafrisho isn't relevant because he's it's bonus, but right, is it considered maisa ver or not? It's under duress. Now these are parallel questions. What does it take for to be considered a halachic action? Right, how much awareness of what? Right, we'll discuss later on. You know, the second semester we'll get to these topics. But psikresha, right? So what does can davar shein miskaven turn into a davar miskaven through psikresha? Things of that sort. What is a halachic maisa? But for the moment, right? What about ones, an act in under duress? That's very relevant to our question. Was he mekayim the tanai? Just that, you know, he's not responsible. Oh. So I just want to take a couple of minutes to discuss this problem. Kiyum atanai oyde ones, bitol atanai oyde ones, shmo kiyum ubitol, or not? Can you be mechalik between shebal tas and kumbase? And this question, for example, those who were here last year will recall, and those of you who weren't may know, that in the world of Misasek, for example, there have may have been such suggestions. Right, Ellie? Whose suggestion? No? But close enough. Rabbi Kvager didn't make that suggestion. But who did? The Nesivas, in his Sefer Mekor Chaim. Right? The Sivas, but in which direction? I'm only bringing it up because it's a relevant parallel here. In which direction? Kumbase, Sheval Taisa should be more of a Maisa Vera? You misasek be Sheval Taisa and misasek be Kumbase. Which one should be more of a Maisa Vera? It's a bit of a trap. But not really. I mean, Adav? We're going to stop in 1 minute. See there? Where's Amnadav there? What? Oh, there he is. Oh, yeah, I saw you were there, actually, before. Yeah.
I don't know.
What would you say intuitively?
Intuitively, I would say that the Vice of Yadayim would be Misasi would not apply to Shabbat Tassim.
So, which one again?
Yeah, Misasi would apply.
Misasik not being a Maisa Vera, more B'Sheval Tassim or more B'Kumbase? I mean, a misasek b'shuval tes is certainly not a ma'isa vera, but a misasek b'kumbase would be. That's what you want to say. Okay, and the Mekor Chaim does exactly the opposite. But what I said last year was, you definitely could say the opposite. Right. The reason he says the opposite is the old problem. What? Very good. Or maybe, like, that, you know, but that depends on the kiyum of the bitl here, right? So, but the point is that why? Because, again, it's the old threshold question. That's basically what Mekor Chaim was saying was, and we had a similar thing in Rabbi Kivager about Ellie, the difference between Misasik and Kol HaTorah Kula and the Misasik and Hilchos Shabbos, right? Based on Melachos Machshavah. That's also a counterintuitive one, but an understandable one. Meaning, you might say like this: well, you know, for Sheval Tasa, you don't need much of an action to begin with, right? So you're as a passive action can be accomplished, you know, even under duress. But an active action, right, requires, you know, voluntary participation. That's what Mekor Chaim said. What Aminadav is saying is the opposite. He's saying, listen, you know, to be considered, an action, right? I mean, physically, you did the action. So it's hard to say that, right, that the Maisa Ones, you know, takes away from that. But in Sheval Taisa, the tziruf to you is tentative to begin with. So it's tentative and it's onus. Right? That's your thinking. If you ask me, I would say it's a 50-50. Again, Kor Chaim was trying to explain how it could be that you violate by Rabbi Matzah in Chametz Sheni Yadua, you're misasek. So he said, oh, okay. But it's a Sheval Taisa. So misasek, the Sheval Taisa, you know, that's an Avera. Okay. Now, why am I telling you all this now? Especially when time is precious, because part of our question is, right, whether or not we want to figure out ones, B'tnai. Right? So I'm also, you know, again, we're not going to be able to discuss every detail, but there are a lot of details. So, you know, just to follow through on your own even, is it possible that in this question, Gufa, there would be a difference between Ones, B'tnai, Kumbase, and Ones, B'tnai, Shevel Taisa? Just as I was suggesting that maybe Kumbase, Shevel Taisa may affect the relationship to the Maisa, that part of the Milsachriti issue maybe depends whether you formulated a bitul or a kiyum, or you formulated a kumbase and a shebal taisa, right? In addition to what we said before, instead of being, you know, across the board or distinctions between iser and mamon, maybe it depends whether you formulated a kumbase or a shebal taisa. So too, from an ones point of view, is it possible that a shebal taisa, an imlo basi ba'ones, Mikor Chaim might say to you, an imlo basi ba'ones is a more imlo basi than a basi ba'ones. And Aminadab would tell you the exactly the opposite. Right? So if we find chilukim between tnai ba'ones of kumbases and tnai ba'ones of sheval taisas, right, we've just provided a very good explanation for that. Or two very good explanations. One on the basis whether ones is considered a ma'isa avera or not. The other based on the milsachriti question. What's more milsachriti? Right? Okay, so I'll try to pin those down tomorrow. But this question obviously gets played out in a number of topics. So I want to talk just very quickly tomorrow about the Rambam and the Ramban Sefer Mitzvah, the things I gave you to look at. Yehari Vayavra, I'll speak very quickly, but that'll be half treated when we get to Lidrashu Bonus Shari. We'll see whatever we can get through tomorrow. Okay. So remember, tomorrow, 12:30.